Hey guys, welcome to this brand new episode of Astrophysica's podcast. Myself, Aman Mohan, and with me is Shweta Ramkumar. Hey Shweta.
Hi Aman. Hi everyone.
Perfect. So today we'll be talking about the fate of a star, and it is Betelgeuse. So for those who don't know what Betelgeuse is, it is a star classified as a red supergiant of spectral type M12. And the letter M in this designation means that it is a red star belonging to the M spectral class and therefore has a relatively low photospheric temperature. And it is one of the largest stars visible to the naked eye. So before we dive deep into this topic, I've had a doubt for a long time. Like, what is this Betelgeuse? What does the name mean? Like, isn't it a weird name for a star? Shweta, why don't you talk about what the name means?
Okay. The proper names of many bright stars are usually Arabic in origin, and this fact reflects the dominance of Arabic astronomers and astrologers during Europe's Dark Ages. So the name Betelgeuse is basically derived from an Arabic phrase that is usually translated as the armpit of the giant.
Okay, that is even weirder than the name itself. Okay, so of course this giant is referred to Orion, right? And for many authors, say like more than an armpit, Betelgeuse, as you know, it represents a hand or sometimes a shoulder. So while it is not entirely clear what the name means, in any event, Betelgeuse marks the right shoulder of Orion in many old star maps.
Yes, and it is located 640 light years away in the constellation of Orion. And this distinctive star is found in the upper left corner of Orion and marks the hunter's right shoulder. It's also a huge variable star, which means that it fluctuates in size from between 700 times to 1,000 times bigger than the Sun. And if it was replaced by the Sun in our own solar system, then it would reach the asteroid belt and extend to the orbit of Jupiter. That's how massive it is.
Wow. So, yeah, right, reddish star. It is usually the 10th brightest star in the night sky, and after Rigel, the second brightest in the constellation of Orion. And if it were the center of our solar system, its surface would lie beyond the asteroid belt and it would engulf the orbits of Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars.
Wow, huge. And in the 1970s, astronomers saw some major advances in astronomical imaging technology, and it increased the optical resolution of ground-based telescopes and thereby allowing for more precise measurements of Betelgeuse's photosphere.
Yeah, and later in 1995, the Hubble Space Telescope's faint object camera captured an ultraviolet image with a resolution superior to that obtained by, you know, ground-based interferometers, and the first conventional telescope image of the disk of another star.
Yes, Betelgeuse is subject to multiple cycles of increasing and decreasing brightness, mostly due to changes in its size and temperature. So it is known as the pulsating semi-regular variable star. That's a lot of names.
Yeah, and you know, the astronomers who first noted the dimming of Betelgeuse from Villanova University, astronomers Richard Vasitonic and Edward Guinan, and amateur Thomas Calderwood theorized that a coincidence of a normal 5.9-year light cycle minimum and a deeper than normal 425-day period are the driving factors. And other possible causes hypothesized by late 2019 were an eruption of gas or dust, or even fluctuations in the star's surface brightness.
And by August 2020, long-term and extensive studies of this star, primarily using UV observations by the Hubble Space Telescope, suggest that the unexpected dimming was probably caused by an immense amount of super hot material ejected into space. And the material cooled and therefore formed a dust cloud, which blocked the starlight coming from about a quarter of Betelgeuse's surface.
Yeah, and by Jan 2020, Betelgeuse had dimmed by a factor of approximately 2.5, from magnitude 0.5 to 1.5, and reported still fainter in February. And by 17 February 2020, Betelgeuse's brightness had remained constant for about 10 days. And also on 24th February, further studies suggested that occluding large grain circumstellar dust may be the most likely explanation for the dimming of the star.
Yeah, this is a great mystery of dimming, actually. And this star's brightness is known to vary irregularly and therefore making predictions difficult. On 30th August 2020, astronomers reported the detection of a second dust cloud emitted from the star and associated with recent substantial dimming in the star's luminosity. And in June 2021, the dust has been explained as possibly caused by a cool patch on its photosphere. And in August, a second independent group confirmed these results. So the dust is thought to have resulted from a cooling, from the cooling of gas ejected from the star.
Yeah. And, you know, Betelgeuse lies as close as 430 light years from Earth. And even though it is far away, it's one of the brightest stars in the Earth sky because it's intrinsically very brilliant. Some, I think, 1 lakh times brighter than our own sun.
Wow. And such brilliance comes at a price, right? It's because Betelgeuse's enormous energy requires that its fuel be expended quickly, which therefore hastens or puts an end to its life. Someday, soon, the star will eventually run out of fuel, collapse under its own weight, and then rebound in a spectacular supernova explosion.
Yeah, and a supernova, as we have discussed in previous podcasts, is the explosive death of a star in an event so violent that for a brief period, that single star shines as brightly as a whole galaxy of more than 100 billion ordinary stars like the sun. And this is a relatively very rare event.
Yeah, and most stars end their lives in much quieter fashion, actually. And only a few supernovae occur in a galaxy like our own, which is the Milky Way, every century. But such events are of key importance in the evolution of a galaxy and for the existence of life forms such as ours, because supernovae both manufacture all the elements heavier than iron and also scatter both these and other heavy elements through space when they explode.
Yeah, you know, and when this happens, Betelgeuse will brighten enormously for a few weeks or months, perhaps becoming as bright as a full moon, and will be visible in broad daylight too. So, like, when do you think it will happen though?
Probably not in our lifetime, but in fact, no one really knows, you know. It could be tomorrow or a million years in the future, who knows. So will the star, you know, the supernova destroy our planet, the Earth? What do you think, Aman?
Well, no, because, you know, whenever Betelgeuse does blow up, our planet Earth is too far away for this explosion to harm and much less destroy, you know, life on Earth. So astrophysicists say we'd have to be within at least 50 light years of a supernova for it to harm us. And Betelgeuse is nearly 10 times this distance. And instead, anyone alive on Earth, you know, when it happens, will be treated to an amazingly beautiful sight in the night sky and, you know, a very, very, very bright star.
Oh, I really hope we don't miss that, but you never know. So Betelgeuse is due to explode as a supernova someday, although maybe not soon on a human timescale. But when it does explode, it will be bright enough from our earthly vantage point to shine during the day. But it's far enough away that the Earth won't be in danger. That's it for this week's episode, guys. See you all next week. And this is Shweta signing off with Aman.
Bye, guys.
Bye.